System safety. Now, it's the last segment in reliability management, and we've certainly mentioned safety a handful of different times. In many organizations, it's explicitly the number one concern or number one priority is to make sure that the system operates in a safe manner. And having employees not getting injured, having customers not injured, and so on, is often a high priority in the design process as well as the operation of the equipment and maintenance of the equipment. It's a wonderful thing when the system works as expected, yet failures can occur and cause untold increases in the safety risks that the product presents. I've used the examples of the unattended acceleration and the airbag accelerators. But I think I've even mentioned battery packs, lithium ion batteries that would catch on fire. A lot of the products we use on an everyday basis can present quite a bit of safety risk. Yet we generally design these systems and operate these systems in order to minimize the risk that they pose. It is part of the design process and part of the reliability engineer's role is to safeguard the customers or the people using the systems so that the systems themselves remain safe to operate and to be around. So safety impacts every element of the life cycle, and it's broader than just the reliability aspect of it, but we get involved because it's an element of what happens when a product fails. And if the product fails and becomes dangerous, it's unsafe, we should elevate that as to be a critical action that needs to be resolved. It's not just a worrying about field failure rate in just another field return when somebody gets injured or, say, a home burns down. It's another classification, and it's pretty much independent of what the actual failure rates are. But it's something that we need to be aware of, that even if it has a very slight possibility of occurring, can we create a system such that it doesn't create a fire, for example? Can we have it fail safe is a term you might hear associated with this topic. So part of what we do as a reliability engineer is identify risks, and safety is a part of that set of risks. It's those items that we flag whenever we hear about them across the entire life cycle that then trigger a different response than it's just a cold failure. If it becomes a hot failure, to use that analogy, it's something that requires more of a deliberate corrective action to design it out of the product, to eliminate it from the process, or as last resort, to mitigate the impact of the safety hazards. The basic safety programs in most organizations is very similar to the development process and often integrated very closely with it. But it may require, depending on your product, specific regulatory or review processes that allow you to focus only on safety, and not just you, your entire team. So there's many different standards. For example, toys have a particular size standard if the toy is going to be used by toddlers or young children, and it's for a choking hazard. And there's sets of tests that allow you to evaluate whether you have met those particular standards or not. Regulatory agencies such as, I think it's Underwriters Laboratories, UL in the U.S., the CSA has a set of safety standards, and I believe that comes out of Canada. Europe has got a set of standards. Most of the countries in Asia have standards, and they're very similar in most cases, although there are exceptions, and sometimes the regulations and standards can be in conflict with each other. So for each product, it's do the due diligence and literature search to find out which regulations and standards apply. But there's also a level sets of nationally recognized laboratories, and this is more than just the certification that they carry. It's are they able to speak and or do the testing such that the regulatory bodies recognize them? So it's in some cases we need to use these kinds of labs in order to get our products to be allowed to be sold in a particular market. And that may sound a little circumspect, but if you need to make sure that your product is safe to operate, say in a nuclear power plant, then the TÜV agency, I think that's out of Europe, may be required to review your designs and manufacturing processes to certify that it's safe to be used in that particular application. But many of these things also then come with how do we monitor and maintain the level of compliance for our design or assembly process. So there's, it can be quite a bit, especially for inherently unsafe either environments or unsafe products or hazardous products. I shouldn't say unsafe. But whether it's containment or controls or conditions of what happens when it fails, those things can all trigger some level of regulatory or conformance or certification. The other part is user safety. And many of you have seen, and I'm quite sure maybe if you're an engineer like I am, is haven't read the warning labels other than as entertainment. But many manuals today have half of the document is warnings and cautions. And even on the products, I just unboxed a new space heater today for use in our home. And there's a large label on the power outlet or on the power plug. And it had both sides printed with labels and warnings. And I probably need a microscope or maybe a magnifying glass to actually be able to read it because the amount of information they tried to cram onto that label. And the label was a pretty good size, about the size of my hand. It's just that it, in some regards, there's so many warnings and labels that we ignore them to some extent. So making them the product itself very safe is really our first defense. It's not usually sufficient to say, well, we'll put a warning in the manual. Now, this becomes even more so when we know that we have trained technicians doing maintenance and servicing different pieces of equipment. It's how do we ensure that the design accommodates what a technician or a repairman will be doing with that equipment? Will it be energized or will it be hot? Will it be unusual dangers that are not consistent with the training that these people would normally have? So making sure that the people around our equipment are safe, the people doing the maintenance and servicing of the products are safe, and that even in the disposal side, if there's areas or elements that become exceedingly hazardous when it's being disassembled, we need to make due diligence to make sure that the folks involved at that stage are safe also. Now, all of this can happen and should happen during the design phase, so it's something to keep in mind even early in the program. It's how are we going to safeguard this product so that it doesn't cause injury? But that's all part of the risk management. And our role as reliability engineers oftentimes is to bring in the tools for risk assessments or to do the analysis, the qualitative or quantitative types of analysis. But basically, we're providing, gathering and providing information to decision makers within the organization and helping them to understand what is the array of risks that are facing the product and or the customer. And so it's identifying it accurately so that we can make good decisions about what we need to design out or mitigate as it goes forward as a product. and what level of identification markings or controls need to go in place. So one more time, we're going to look at what's our role from the reliability point of view. And it should be clear, especially with safety and liability and warranty, that we deal with failure rates. And the failure rates suggest, well, how often a particular product behavior occurs. And if it takes us into unsafe territory, then how did we make the right decision? What's our liability when something fails? Is it just warranty, making the product right again? Or did it become so unsafe that we have a lawsuit or we've created injury and we have to make that right? So it's reliability in these regards can be very, very important. And so it's not to be underestimated. We're not just reliability engineers. We get involved with so many decisions in the organization that our role is rather important. It's one way to think of it. Now, we've covered a lot of tools and techniques and concepts in this section. So it's worth a read, understand the terminology, understand where you can find this information, and be familiar with the basic concepts throughout. In the next section, we're going to start everybody's favorite, the probability and statistics.